Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, Playtesi, back for episode 329. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at Playtesi on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Sammy's here, Pat's here, Gordo here with you guys, and we are back for the second edition of this year's AL East Outlook. We're going from least interesting to most interesting. Is it right that we have the Orioles as the second least interesting with the offseason that they had?
Yes. I just don't agree with calling them the second least interesting because I think all these AL East teams are interesting this year. This is a unique bunch of teams and there's really not a single boring one. So I would say the Orioles are the third most interesting opponent in the AL East.
Oh, yes. Opponent. Fourth. Opponent. Yeah. Fourth most interesting because they had a damn good offseason aside from the pitching side of things. Like the lineup is totally revamped. Guys are healthy. Guys will bounce back that had shit years last year. I by no means be doing this team after the Rays. Are we implying that they will be bad?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because it's like, obviously you take the Red Sox out of it because we're previewing opponents and it's like the Orioles have a chance to be a really, really good team this year, but you're dealing with the Yankees and the Blue Jays who tied for the best record in the American League last year, one of which went to the World Series and was two outs away and like an inch away from winning the whole thing. And the other one is the Red Sox, obvious number one rival every single year. Like the Yankees are going to come last in this every single time. And it's like, okay, the Orioles get a little bit of a slight, but it's due to no fault of their own. Like they came in last place last year. They're about as interesting as a team can possibly be going into the year coming off a last place season.
You got to wonder if they gave Czech Republic superstar Terán Vávra more run because he only got one at bat for the Orioles last year and he has a negative 100 OPS plus. If they let that guy do his thing like Czech Republic did, probably a 105 win team.
So the Orioles last year, 75-87, came in last place in the American League East. Maybe if they played Mr. Vavra more, they could have come in first place in the AL East, but they made that decision. They're going to have to live with that for the rest of their careers.
Fools.
Why am I blanking on the name of the manager that got fired?
Derek Hyde.
Oh, Hyde. Brandon Hyde.
Brandon Hyde. Brandon Hyde. You would think that with the firing of Brandon Hyde, it was because the front office knew what they needed to do and put in Mr. Vavra, who plays what position exactly?
You know, I mean,
yeah,
he plays.
What's his first name? Terran?
Terran. I actually think he plays second and third.
Oh, multiple positions, still couldn't find a spot. I mean, I get it. Like, you got Jackson Hall. Hey, is he still in the organization?
Terran Vavra?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a good question because he did play for the Orioles last year, but I wasn't joking. It really was one at bat.
Sammy, if he's still in the organization, now could be his time. They've got a lot of depth. We'll get into it. But Jackson Holliday and Jordan Westbrook, those two positions, both hurt.
Hey, maybe he earns a spot. Like, he hit a home run off of, oh, God, some guy from, who is he even playing? Korea. That's a legit WBC team, and Terran Vavra hit a tank. That's all I need to see if I'm the Orioles.
Wow. Yeah, put him in. Maybe this maybe the Jordan Westbrook injury, which looks like it's probably going to be a little bit of a long-term thing, maybe a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, but jokes aside, the Orioles, like their infield mix, the names they have in play, injured and not injured, is, I think it's fair to say, it's among the better teams in Major League Baseball. I wouldn't say best, but it's among the stronger groups. A lot of upside for sure.
So in terms of their offseason, the Orioles had a top blank offseason amongst Major League teams this year.
Oh.
We can go over it if you want. I've got all the moves and stuff.
Yeah, give me the major moves, and then I will try to compare to the rest of the teams on the fly.
Let's talk moves, and then, we'll give a general... A general, they top what offseason? So free agents they brought in. The guy that we all wanted, Pete Alonso, 5 years, $155 million. The pass notification. I was sitting, I forget where, I was in my car for some reason. Yeah, Jeff Pass notification, Pete Alonso not coming to the Red Sox. And that kind of threw a whole, that was like the first of many wrenches that got thrown in the Red Sox offseason. That right there was like, oh, wow, this is really not going to be as easy as we thought it was. But yeah, the Orioles get that guy. Ryan Helsley, 2 years, $28 million, going to be the closer this year. Felix Bautista out again. We'll see what's up with him longer term. Chris Bassitt, 1 year, $18.5 million. Zach Eflin back, 1 year, $10 million. And then in terms, they didn't really lose anyone in free agency. They traded guys away last year. Like Cedric Mullins got traded, was awful, signed with the Rays. Talked about him last week. Trades, they've made a couple of the more interesting trades this offseason. Taylor Ward for Grayson Rodriguez, which will be debated. Taylor Ward, 30 home run guy, but Grayson Rodriguez, despite the injury history, as much upside as in the game. And then trading as much as they traded for Shane Baz, they traded two 2025 first round picks, a pitcher that is now the number 8 prospect in the Rays organization, a first round pick in the upcoming draft, the Rays' current 26 prospect for Shane Baz. So it's a lot. But Shane Baz also has a chance to be really good. And then they got Andrew Kittredge back.
Okay. So I'm trying to think, like, which other teams had huge off seasons. There weren't a lot of teams that went nuts. Yeah, Gordo?
Pat?
The Dodgers got Edwin Diaz and Kyle Tucker.
I don't even count them among major league teams. Like, they're in their own.
I would say Seattle probably had a better offseason.
I don't know.
Brandon Donovan brought back Naylor.
But Seattle lost Polanco and Suarez. And Polanco was their clutch guy. And I know Suarez wasn't good for them, but he's still good.
Cubs.
There.
Cubs got Edward Cabrera, Bregman.
They did lose Tucker. Can I give you guys one?
Please.
It's a team that generated a lot of anger early on, but I really think the New York Mets rebounded to have one of the better off seasons in the sport. That's a team that needed to retool their entire team, and they did. And they, I think, have more talent than when we left last year. and retooled while losing big names. Like, that's hard to do.
They certainly have more talent, but the fits are bizarre. You have Polanco playing first base where he's never played. You have Bichette playing third base where he's never played. You have Simeon's at second, so that works. Yeah, they're more talented. We got to see if it works, though, because it is abnormal in terms of the amount of guys playing new positions or out of position. Plus, they lost Pete Alonso.
Yeah. I mean, all in all,
Blue Jays, Cease, Okamoto, Ponce, and they lost
Bo.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The more we talk about it, the more like the Orioles offseason sounds good. Also, if we were not locked in on the Red Sox and like the way the offseason went and our expectations and everything, we would totally be mentioning them alongside the Orioles with Sonny, Ranger, Contreras, like all these guys. I feel like if you compare it, just who they added, and you ignore the expectation.
If you ignore the expectation and you ignore the departures, sure.
Right, right. But we're too locked in for that.
You can't ignore the departures, though. The departures are part of it.
I have, because I pulled up a list of like best offseason moves, or like, you know, rated offseasons per team. The Red Sox coming at the top of the list at an A per ESPN.
No, it can't be.
That's crazy.
It can't be.
I'm the same way.
In terms of the talent they added, sure. But like Gordo just said, you have to consider, like, you lost Bregman. That is so big. And we don't have to go over it again, but
discrepancy between how local people who cover the team, the fans, et cetera, view the Red Sox offseason and how the national media views the Red Sox offseason could not be wider. Couldn't be wider.
Completely different.
Gordo, I think I'm going to agree with you. I think the Mets had a better offseason. I'm looking at their moves. They had a ton of departures, but I really left from the Mets: Alonso, Nimmo, McNeil, Sproat, Marte, Luis Angel Acuna, Griffin Canning, Ryan Stanek, Taylor Rogers. And Edwin Diaz.
Jet Williams.
And then Jet is another one, yeah. But then coming in, Freddy Peralta, Bo Bichette, Jorge Polanco, Marcus Semien, Lou Bob, Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, Tobias Myers.
That's a ton of talent.
Wow. Yeah, that is. Okay. I think what they did, it was not in spurts. They like incrementally did it as they lost pieces. They would gain like a lesser piece.
And then they went nuts at the end.
Like, yeah, but on paper.
Lou Bob and Bo Bichette like at the same time, and it was late. So people like had already written the Mets' fate. Like, this offseason sucked. And then, oh, wait. We haven't even reported to spring training yet. They're still allowed to make moves, and they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of got Peralta a little later. Not late, but later than most.
Definitely.
Yeah, I guess the reason I'm not like, oh, my God, they got Peralta, because, you know, he's on expiring deals. But that's not the conversation. We're talking about who added more talent. The Mets, I concede. Fair enough.
So Orioles had a top what offseason?
Five.
Easy.
I would go even further. I'd say top three.
The reason I'm saying five is because they could be three or four. Like, there's an argument for both. But we're all in the same ballpark. They had a very good offseason.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today.
we help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Before we get into the lineup and stuff, trade-wise, Taylor Ward for Grayson Rodriguez. This was one of the more polarizing trades of the offseason, and I, if I remember correctly, we disagreed on this trade. Because I really liked the trade. I mean, first of all, it gets the Orioles better for now. Taylor Ward, yes, he's a rental, but he's also really good coming off a 30-plus home run season. I was confused by the trade, though. Like a team in the Orioles that definitely needed to improve their starting pitching. And I know that Grayson Rodriguez comes with as much risk as anybody, but if you're a team looking to have multiple front of the rotation guys emerge, that's a guy you want giving starts to. And to give up on him as quickly as they did for a rental, I was confused by the trade. I wish it didn't happen because it made them better this year, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't have even made it if I were them.
Few things, Gordo. I agree, by the way. It was a strange trade for both sides. If you're the Angels, you know, I would want someone more reliable. I'm not ignoring the upside of Grayson Rodriguez. He has massive upside. How soon people forget this guy was a top five pitching prospect of the world not too long ago. Health issues have hampered him. If I'm the Angels, Taylor Ward, you say he hit 30 home runs last year. He hit 36 home runs, and Woo! He drove in 103, 116 OPS plus.
Woo!
That is a damn good player. And again, rental, sure. Grayson Rodriguez, I struggle to think of a more volatile player that anyone has traded for this offseason. That guy could be a complete zero, or he could be like a number two starter. Nobody knows.
Yeah, I think that the trade in a vacuum is just so odd. From the Angels' perspective, I love it from the Angels' perspective because Taylor Ward has what? 1 year left or 2 years left?
One.
So you're trading a guy who's expiring, plays an outfield spot. Joe Adell took a massive step forward. You still have Mike Trout. Not Cam Smith.
Zach Neto. Oh, Christian Moore.
Like they have pieces in place where you can kind of, they're prepped for life after Taylor Ward. So I get it from their end because they can't develop pitching to save their life. It's actually incredible how bad they are at developing pitching. But from the Orioles perspective, it's like the second they lost Corbin Burnes, they were just in this uphill battle to find another frontline starter and fill out a competent big league rotation that can contend. Last year, they literally did nothing. Like, the rotation was real, real bad last year. So then they move Grayson, and it's like, that was really weird. That's a high upside guy. That could be like a key cog in your rotation for years to come. Maybe they'll go out and they'll sign, you know, Amai or Suarez or Valdez. Like, there was plenty of guys that they could have gone out.
We thought they were going to get Ranger. Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant Gino Suarez. Okay, yeah.
No. Yeah, so there's like 3-4 guys that like all offseason people like obvious fit, like they're gonna get one of these guys, and then they kind of empty the clip on Shane Baz, who's shown flashes but is the furthest thing from proven and reliable, and then they go out and they get Bassett on a 1 year. Like the domino effect, all the moves that came after Grayson made that trade even more confusing.
You're right, Pat, because if they sign, like if they traded for Baz and then they sign Framber Valdez and they get one of Bassett or Eflin on a 1 year. And it's like, you've still got Rodgers, you've still got Bradish. Like, they've got guys, and you could make the argument that, okay, we can enter the season with a little bit more certainty, have an upside because we got these two really big name dudes. But you're right. It does feel like their offseason, as good as it was one big time proven ace starting pitcher short. One thing I also thought a little bit confusing about the offseason, and we'd forgotten about it for the longest time. Pat, you brought it up like maybe 2 months into the offseason because we'd heard so little about it. But going into the offseason, they extended Basayo, the catcher, for something like 80-ish mil.
It was like 8 years, 80 mil or something like that. Yeah.
So, yeah. And you factor in the Pete Alonso signing, it screams Adley Rutschman is not part of this organization's future. We didn't hear a single rumor about Adley Rutschman starting once the offseason began. Sammy?
Well, I think what it is they don't believe in Basayo as a catcher. I think he's going to be the first baseman of the team, and that's why, or DH, excuse me, first base DH, and that's why, like, Adley's not going anywhere. They're not going to sell low on him. I'm sure Basayo will catch a little bit, but long term, I don't think he's going to stick there. I haven't heard anyone say they believe in him at that spot.
You might be right, Sammy, but then the argument becomes, why invest in Pete Alonso? You're now going to commit to Basayo's career as a DH this early. Like, the argument would be, why, like, if you're going to pay that much money for Pete Alonso, why are you not spending that on any other position for that matter?
I think we kind of have Red Sox, Chaim Bloom, Craig Breslow brain. Like, you're right, Gordo. But from the Orioles' perspective, they're like, we just got fucking Pete Alonso and we got our young guy locked up, and they can alternate between first base and DH, and Basayo can catch every now and then. Like, end of story. That's awesome. They have a lot of talent locked down. They just can't add to that part of the diamond, which, whatever. It's fine.
So I have their roster up right now. Dude, they have way too many cooks in the kitchen.
Are you talking about for first base?
Dude, just in general. Because I'm like, okay, so let's say Pete Alonso plays first base. Adley's catching. That means Basayo's the DH. So their starting lineup right now would be Basayo at DH, Adley catching, Alonso at first, Holiday at second, Gunnar obviously at short, Westberg saying health third, and then outfield wise it would be Couser, O'Neill, Ward. Perfect. Listen to the names that are not in that lineup: Leotis Tavares, Heston Kjerstad, Dylan Beavers, Ryan Mountcastle, Kobe Mayo, Blaze Out. Like, they have way too many solid guys to not be getting regular playing time.
I mean, okay, Beavers, yeah, but he'll probably start in AAA or have some different role. The other guys you mentioned, like Mountcastle, he's okay. Kobe Mayo has not been good in the big leagues. Like, I feel like the way they've done this is pretty smart.
But to my point, like, those are legit very good around the league trade chips that you could move.
Yeah,
and the fact that they did not move any of those to upgrade their bad rotation is insane, Gordo.
And Ryan Mountcastle, to pick one, was a guy who was a borderline non-tender candidate. And people, when they tendered him a contract, the thinking amongst the fans was, okay, well, like, that means this guy's going to be the first baseman, because if it was even a doubt, they wouldn't have tendered him the contract. To me, I see guys like Kobe Mayo, Heston Kjerstad, Beavers. Like, these are guys who need runway to be productive major league players. And if they're on the bench or in AAA, like, Kobe Mayo's been miserable in AAA for years, waiting to get an actual chance at an extended run at major league time. I don't know why they didn't trade some of these guys. You're 100% right.
Kjerstad might be a bust.
Maybe.
He might not be who we thought.
Also hasn't had a ton. Like, he's had more run than Mayo, but he still hasn't gotten like a ton of, like, right, considering they were a last place team last year.
He's had, Kjerstad, over three seasons, he's had 314 plate appearances, which isn't that much, but he's been really bad. 84 OPS plus. And that's a guy who all through the minors was touted as a big bat. Gordo?
Question for you, Sammy. What's his number one season in terms of games played in the majors? Do you have that up?
Last year, he played 54, and he was, oh my God, negative 1.6 B-WAR.
That's really bad.
Yeah, that's to rack up that much negative B-war in not that long of a time. It's not great. Not great, Heston.
It's easy to point at Heston. It's easy to point at Kobe Mayo. It's easy to point at a lot of these guys. Is Jackson Holiday a bust?
No. Well,
I think it's too early to say that, but it is a little bit concerning. And you loop him in with so many of these other guys. I mean, Kowser had a down year last year too. I know he battled a ton of random injuries all throughout the year. So I want to give him a little bit of a mulligan, Pat.
So I have their farm system when they were rated number one in the league.
Read it off.
Listen to the amount of guys who are busts. I'll just go through the top 10.
Yeah, read the whole top 10 and how many of these guys hit. Let's hear it.
Jackson Holiday. Jury's out. As of now, kind of a bust. Basayo, good. Kowser, good. Kobe Mayo. Heston Kjerstad.
Bad.
Enrique Bradfield Jr. Connor Norby.
Traded. Marlins.
Yeah. Traded, but not good. Traded and not good. Dylan Beavers. Chase McDermott. Cade Povich.
Okay. Can we? I want to run something back. We're going to get lit up for this. We cannot call Jackson Holiday a bust yet. He's only 22. He was about a league average bat last year and was his first like real opportunity. I just don't want us to get destroyed by people when he inevitably comes back in 2 years and is a stud. But he hasn't been great.
He hasn't been good enough. But yeah, I agree. Way, way too early.
We bullied point him being, in his debut, Gordo. Remember that? We scared him.
Point being, like, this was going to be the farm that built a dynasty. And they have three guys that are hits. A guy or two where the jury's out, and then five unmitigated busts. Like, that's that's bad. That's really
bad. Agreed. Oh my God. The percentage, like, you looked at that farm system and it was like, okay, like, this lineup is going to be, and granted, like, well, the lineup looks pretty good anyway, but they had to pay Pete Alonso. Like, in a perfect world for them, Kobe Mayo's their 35 home run bat, and they're not shelling out $155 million to Pete Alonso.
Adley's the best catcher in the league, and Cedric Mullins is still there. Like, that's probably what they thought would happen. And
Heston Kjerstad should have broken out 2 years ago.
Like, yeah, and what has Kowser done? Because Kowser had a good start.
He was good, really good 2 years ago, and he was bad last year because he had like six different injuries.
He was terrible last year.
He'll
be there.
One rookie of the year. Yeah, Kowser.
Second place.
Who won it?
Oh, to Luis Gil, right?
Oh, that's right. I thought that was crazy. I thought Kowser was absolutely.
So Kowser hit.
God bless me.
768 OPS, 24 home runs, 69 RBI. Last year, limited games, so he only played 92 games. 196, 654 OPS, 16 home runs, 40 RBI. So this will be a big year for him. Hopefully he stays healthy. They kind of get an idea of what he is. Because if he plays like he did his rookie year, that's obviously a hit, and that's a franchise piece there. If he has another year where he's kind of hitting around 220, 230, not reaching 25 home runs, then it gets a little bit hairy.
All right, fellas. We talked a little bit about the lineup. To go over it again, catcher Adley Rutschman, first base Pete Alonso, second base when healthy Jackson Holiday, third base when healthy Jordan Westberg, shortstop Gunnar Henderson, outfield Taylor Ward, Colton Kowser, Tyler O'Neill, DH Basayo, and the bench Beavers, Kjerstad, Mayo, Mountcastle, Blaze Alexander, etc., however they want to do it. Who's got the better offense this year, the Orioles or the Red Sox? Pat, you clap your hands. What do you got?
I think it's not even close. I think it's the Orioles.
I agree with you. I think it's the Orioles.
There's so much. There's a legit chance that the top four of their lineup, you have Gunnar, Ward, and Alonso all hitting 30-plus home runs.
Yep. I think it's the Orioles. I don't think it's a complete blowout. I think there's a lot of guys with question marks in the Orioles lineup, but that top four, like you just said, like you can't. The Red Sox don't match up with that. I think Roman Anthony could be, I was going to say Roman Anthony would be the best bat in the Orioles lineup, but I can't put him over Gunnar yet. Gunnar was amazing in 2024, and his down year, he had a down year, air quotes.
It's like a 5-4, wasn't it? And he was hurt, too. Like, he got hurt before the season.
So Gunnar Henderson in a down year, He played 154 games. Gordo, you're right. He did start off hurt, but he still managed to get into almost every game. 5.3 BWAR. He had 34 doubles, only 17 home runs, which, I mean, that's not terrible, but it's not his normal numbers. 121 OPS plus. But the year prior, when he finished fourth for MVP, this is his age 23 season. Do you guys know what his WAR was?
I think it was 9.1, right?
It was
9.1. Yeah. So as much as I love Roman Anthony and believe in him, I can't put him over Gunnar Henderson, who had a 9.1 BWAR, 31 double, 37 home run, 893 OPS season. Holy shit. It's a good ball player. So give the Orioles the nod for the offense.
Okay, we'll talk starting pitching. We talked about Shane Baz, but Trevor Rogers had a 1.81 ERA last year. Like, that guy was, if he pitched the full season, would have been in Cy Young conversations. Can he repeat that? We'll see. Kyle Bradish, guy that no one seems to talk about because he hasn't pitched much in the last couple of years. Six starts last year, 2.53 ERA. It's now three straight years with an ERA below three, but only 3 years ago did he pitch enough games where it mattered. But this is a guy who, when on the field, is a really good pitcher. They got Shane Baz. They've got Chris Bassett. They've got Dean Kramer. They've got Zach Eflin. That's six guys right there. And they've said they may do a six-man rotation, maybe to start the year at some points, maybe. They've also got Tyler Wells, who has been good when he's pitched. Another guy who went healthy.
Huge, huge person. 6'8", 260.
No one talks about him, but he's good. And then Cade Povich, who, I don't know, they've talked about their belief in him. I'm not sure I see it, but they don't.
What was the weird quote from the GM? The Orioles GM had some absurd quote about what he expects from Cade Povich this year. He's like, I expect him to be one of the best left-handers in baseball.
He was saying that in the context of all of, like, why they haven't gotten another starting pitcher, and then they proceeded to get like three starting pitchers or something from that day forward. It's like,
can you imagine if Cade Povich was on the Red Sox and Breslow said that? Can you imagine the rage I would bring to this show if Breslow tried to sell us on, like, in year four, he'll figure it out?
Yeah. So Cade Povich probably going to be in AAA, but maybe he'll get a chance to showcase his elite stuff. But
do you think they do the same thing in Baltimore? I mean, talk about the owners, like, oh, what is it?
Mike Elias,
the GM.
Yeah, Mike Elias lied to us. Like, he said Cade Povich. Do they do that, or is that just us assholes?
I feel like it's easier to not say those things when they brought in the talent that they brought in this offseason. Last year, they did say that, actually, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, the owners.
Yeah.
The new owners came in. They, like, bought everybody at Camden Yards free beer. We're like, we're spending money. We're going to win a World Series.
And then he didn't and Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah.
That's,
last year was just Tyler, right? It was just
No. There's one more. Because I remember that pathetic, sad quote where they were like, why'd you move in left field to Mike Elias? He's like, because I wanted to get Tyler O'Neill and Gary Sanchez, bro. Dude, what the fuck are you talking to us from the year, like, 2021? How cool.
Ugh. Okay, but I just read off all the starting pitchers. We talk about how good this Red Sox rotation could be. There are some good names in that Baltimore rotation, and its ceiling is good. How do they compare to the Red Sox in your guys' eyes? Red Sox or Orioles?
The problem with the Orioles rotation is it's almost all upside. Like, Rogers was good in 2025, not a big enough sample. Got to see him do it again. Bradish has not pitched 10 games in a season since 2023. Talented, got to see him do it. Similar with Wells, similar with a lot of these guys. Cade Povich, one of the greatest left-handers to ever walk the earth, according to the Orioles. So I'm going to go with the Red Sox, just way more reliable, better depth as well, veterans. This one I don't think is very close.
Yeah, I think if every member of the Orioles rotation pitched to their ceiling, it makes it close, still in the Red Sox favor. But just playing the odds game, like, guys kind of average out, do what they should kind of thing, it's not close for me. It's the Sox.
Pat, you took the words out of my mouth. It's like, okay, if Trevor Rogers and Kyle Bradish do what they did last year, and Kyle Bradish what he's done the last 3 years, and Shane Baz pitches to the ceiling, then you've got a three-headed monster atop that rotation. That said, like, what they would do at their ceiling would match what we expect Crochet, Ranger Suarez, Sonny Gray to do.
Yeah.
So maybe if they reach their absolute ceiling and the other guys are like 50th percentile outcomes, like they could pass it, but so much has to go right for that to happen. I think the Red Sox, you have an argument right there for the best rotation in the American League. It's them, the Mariners, the Yankees. Those are the three for me. The Orioles are not in there with those teams. So I'm giving it to the Red Sox there. Bullpen. Felix Bautista's not coming through, not walking through that door. Ryan Helsley brought in to close. Andrew Kittredge brought back. Weird, they traded him away last year, traded right back for him at the start of the offseason, but now he's maybe a little bit hurt. Like, we'll see what comes of that. Outside of that, not a ton of big names in that bullpen. I know everyone talks about Yennier Cano, but like, he hasn't been. Let me pull up his stats for the last few years, but like, people talk. I mean, he was incredible. What was that, 24 or was it 23?
2 years ago. He was fucking, like completely unhittable kind of reliever.
I think him and Batiste were both sub two that year.
They had CNL Perez too. That was a good bullpen.
Yeah,
he
was crazy that year. You're right. Yeah. But Cano was 2-1-1, but I think he was like a sub one for a big chunk of that year. He was an all-star that year. But last year, 65 games, it was a 5-1-2. So he's a big, intimidating guy on the mound. Don't get me wrong, but he's not that dude. At least he wasn't last year. Even the year before, 3-1-5 in 70 innings, which is good. Don't get me wrong, but it's not. It's not a two. It's not a one. Pat?
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
No, I'm just looking at their bullpen, dude. This is ass.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
This is why I don't understand the Orioles, and this is why I've always been dumping on them. When we talk about the Orioles every year since we started the podcast, I've always said the Orioles are big-time losers because they do this with the lineup this year. They get Pete Alonso, Taylor Ward. You're feeling good about the lineup, and then they just like neglect the rotation and they neglect the bullpen. I just don't understand. How do you address one part of the team so differently? The lineup was addressed so completely differently than the rotation and the bullpen. I just don't get it, but I'm a Red Sox fan, so I'm not complaining. Keep doing that, Orioles.
Let me give you my argument a little bit for their bullpen. Like, this is a team, we just talked about how good that pen was kind of out of nowhere a couple years ago. I would say the toughest thing to invest in, both money-wise, like if you're talking free agency, and trade-wise, if you're dealing prospects, is bullpen. Like, relievers are the most volatile players in the sport. So if you're going to pick an area to not spend big on and not invest your prospect capital in, it's that. But if you're the Orioles, like, you better get it right. Like with the Red Sox last year, with Chapman closing, they had to get it right with the lefties, and they did. If they didn't get it right, we would have been talking about it all year. We weren't. With the Orioles, this bullpen, you're going to have guys step up like they've had in the past. And if they don't, they're going to be blowing a lot of games late, and we're going to be talking about it all year long.
Gordo, I totally agree. Bullpen, probably the most risky, difficult part of a baseball team to invest in. But if you do invest in it, you add a guy like Ryan Helsley, why him? He got traded to the Mets in 2025, pitched 22 games for them to a 7 ERA with a FIP over 5. Like, you're right, Gordo. Everything you said is right. But if you do choose to invest, why do you go after that guy? Why not someone who's riding high and pitching well? It's like, you want to win the division. You want to compete with Boston, New York, Toronto. And you buy low on Ryan Helsley coming off of the worst half season you've ever seen from him and hope he bounces back. Like, it's that kind of mindset that I feel just keeps the Orioles from ever joining that upper echelon of teams that actually win at the end of the day. They're kind of sort of similar to Milwaukee, where they're always like, when they're good, but they never get over the hump because they don't invest.
This was absolutely the offseason for them to add multiple arms, just based on what they traded away last year, both from the lineup and the bullpen. Like, this is when you take flyers on all of like those super high upside guys. One guy that I think I said over the offseason that I was like guaranteeing they were going to sign was Pete Fairbanks. Fairbanks is the guy with the ultimate track record, him with Helsley. Anyone else with Helsley, or not even Helsley, go get somebody else. Like, there were so many different combinations, different guys. If they were just going to go with one like they did with Helsley, there were so many avenues they could have gone to meaningfully upgrade the bullpen. And for God knows what reason, they just went with Helsley.
Yeah, Sammy, to your point on why Helsley, I think you kind of answered it when you said buying low, because I'm sure to them, they're like, oh my God, this is a high octane arm, potential top 10 closer in the sport, blows well over 100 miles an hour. And it's like, we can get this guy on a 2-year deal. Like, let's do it. I do agree, though. You look at the depth of that bullpen, and it's a bullpen that could have used one or maybe two more 1-year flyers. Obviously, you know, with bullpens, teams like to have optionability and flexibility, and I understand that. But I agree, when you invest this much in the offense, you would like at least a little bit more certainty in the bullpen than they have. Like, it really is. And I guess they got Andrew Kittredge too, and I'm kind of operating on the mindset that he may not be there to start the year. But
he's fine, yeah. You know who would have been great? You know who would have been perfect for this Orioles team? Kenley Jansen. Solid closer, veteran. Yeah. You know exactly what you're going to get. He's not elite anymore, but he's still very good. Like, Ryan Helsley's ceiling way higher than Kenley's in the year 2026. Way higher. Not even close. But with closer, of all the positions on a baseball team, that is the one where I really would like to know what I'm getting, because that's the highest leverage spots. So I just don't understand. It's so typical Orioles, and I don't know. Maybe they get it right with Helsley, but if they don't, what do you do? Who's your backup plan there? Cano?
That's the thing, is I like Helsley's chances of bouncing back. I mean, Andrew Kittredge has been successful in the closer role. So I would argue there are guys that can step in if he's not back. But the truth of the matter is, if he's not back, I'm comfortable with like Kittredge stepping in. But if Helsley sucks, if he's like the Mets Helsley, I mean, oh my God, if Kittredge is in the closer role, who's getting the eighth? Who's getting the seventh? Right. Who's getting the sixth? So that leads me to the question. I think it is kind of self-explanatory. Who's got the better bullpen? I mean, it's the Red Sox.
Yeah.
The Red Sox, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Kittredge is from Spokane, Washington, which is where Sydney Sweeney is from. Pat Brown, change your mind?
You're going Orioles now, Pat?
In a blowout. I think...
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, no, it's Red Sox. I agree, Gordo. Like, Kittredge could step in. Cano could step in. But this is how we should be talking about the Marlins bullpen, a team that might surprise people. The Pirates bullpen. Maybe they surprise you and they make it. Not a team like the Orioles who just invested in Pete Alonso and traded for Taylor Ward and then was just like, that's good.
All right, win predictions, record predictions, or record if you can do math, win predictions if you can't do math.
So record for me and Sammy, win for you.
Joe, do we have, I'm curious about our last year's win predictions because I'm sure we were all way off on this one.
Oh yeah, you were dead right about that. We were all off. The lowest out of the four of us was me with 85. Ooh. Then Sammy at 86, Pat at 87, Gordo had 90.
Whoa.
And they,
And they finished 75.
You know why? Is because they had all their young guys up. Batista was supposed to be healthy. The rotation was supposed to be healthy. We thought Rodriguez was going to come back. Nothing went right for the Orioles last year. Gunner had a, again, air quotes, down year.
You can't also forget the two previous years. 2024, they were 91 and 71, and 2023, they were 101 and 61. So this is a team that looked like they were setting themselves up for 5, 6, 7, 8 years of just dominance. And it just, I know they didn't win any playoff games, but in the regular season, that's a team that was on their way and until they weren't. So who wants to be the daredevil that goes first and predicts this team there? Because there's a lot of different ways you could go. I've got mine written down, so I'm not going to let you guys impact me. Pat, you want to go first? Let's hear it.
I'm going to go with 84 and 78. I think
fuck
they're,
you. I was going to say the same thing.
Better than last
year.
Say it. I think with even average starting pitching and average bullpen, they could be like an 86, 87 win team. I just think they're so bad at both of those that the lineup can't carry them. I think they're a good team, maybe a wild card team. They'll be a wild card contending team. I don't think they'll make the wild card. 84, 78. Book it.
All right, so I'll follow. I also had them winning 84 wins, which is a big increase of 9 for the Orioles. That bullpen, like I just described, is just not reliable. The rotation, I like the upside. Again, not super reliable. The lineup is awesome, but if you can't pitch, good luck. And I think, by the way, 84 is not derogatory. That's a good team.
I'm trying to find last year what the lowest win total that got into the playoffs was. 87 for the Tigers.
Probably the Reds.
I think it was
that's
the Reds.
True, the NL. Yeah, Reds got in at 83. You guys are right. I'm taking the Orioles for 85 and 77. I think the starting rotation is going to be better than people think. I'm high on all three of those guys atop the rotation. I think at least two of them will be top three in the rotation guys. Do they have that ace? I don't know, but in the regulars, that's much more of a let's talk about it in the postseason kind of problem. I don't know if they get to the postseason, but this is going to be a team that's a lot better than last year. The lineup is going to carry them. They're going to need to win games by a lot with that bullpen, but I think they've got starting pitching to keep other teams down and at bay, and I think they have the lineup to really take it to everybody. Anybody and everybody, this lineup is going to bang. So 85 and 77, and I honestly would go a lot higher if they weren't starting from such a lower point last year, and if they had a little bit better of a bullpen, a little bit deeper of a bullpen. Like they're kind of one thing going wrong in that bullpen away from disaster, and Kittredge going down this early is not ideal. So I want to be higher on them. I'm going to have the Red Sox above them in overall wins, sneak peek. to be expected. I'm having the Red Sox over 85 wins, but 85 and 77 is nothing to sneeze at. If they can get there, may not make the playoffs, but this is a team that's built for at least a couple more years. We'll see what they do with Gunnar.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine how we'd be speaking about these guys if they had added Ranger Suarez or Framber Valdez? Just not an ace, but just a steady, reliable, playoff-proven starting pitcher where you know exactly what you're going to get. I feel like I would be much closer to 90 wins than 80 if they had done that.
You know, I don't even think it would change my prediction that much.
Really?
Yeah, at least for regular season. I mean, their playoff ceiling is certainly limited, but I think they've got enough starting pitching to keep them in pretty much every game they play.
Wow, I'm surprised you say that. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I'm down is just it's the bullpen and it's where they started from. Like, you don't see a lot of 77 win teams jump to the 90 territory. I mean, mm-hmm. It happens, but it's rare.
I'm trying to see, like, do they have any? Like, they could call up Trey Gibson, who's been a decent prospect. I forget what round he went in a few years ago, but that's like he could contribute to the bullpen. It's just not Nestor Hermann. I would be lying if I told you I knew who this was, but they have some guys who could contribute. And just like if we're having this conversation about like maybe their 15th ranked prospect will contribute, that's just uninspiring to me.
Yeah. I mean, they could make trades at the deadline too, but it's just, yeah, they've got an uphill battle in that regard.
Maybe they can get Dustin May at the deadline.
Dude's throwing 100 or 99 or whatever it is in spring training, that graphic.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Great. Dude, congrats.
That pissed me off. That irrationally pissed me off.
What pissed you off more, seeing that graphic or seeing Luis Perales do the same thing?
Probably the Dustin May one, just because we saw last year. Like with Luis Perales, at least you could expect it. And it's like, okay, we like this guy more. With Dustin May, it's like, fuck off.
And Luis Perales is going to be a reliever. He's 160 pounds, throwing 99. Good luck.
All right, that's going to do it for our second edition of AL East Outlook in 2026. Next week, we will be back. We're doing the Blue Jays, right? We're saving the Yankees for last.
Yeah.
They made it to the World Series. Nothing you can do. So we will be back next week with the Blue Jays. The week after that, we will be doing the Yankees. And the week after that, guess what? Opening day. We're, as we record, 3 weeks to the day from opening day. If you're listening, that means we're less than 3 weeks. We are getting real close. But that'll do it for episode 329, AL East Outlook for the Orioles. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at PlayTessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.